You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Laura. It is so good to hear your voice. I wish I was there with you.
I know. Well, I actually woke up this morning like excited about this. I have been looking forward to talking to you. Well, always a treat.
It is. It's a treasure to get to do this with you.
Yeah, lots of fun. Okay, so Dad, so I want to start off with a question for you, and this does tie very directly into our topic for today. But here's what I want to know. What was it like the last day for you at Leadership Edge as the president? Like, we've talked in some of the past podcasts about, you know, all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into founding and sustaining Leadership Edge for the first number of years. And obviously, God was powering all of that. But, you know, you were deeply invested. What was it like the last day that you were the president?
It was strange. It was really weird.
Okay.
I was sitting here in my office in North Carolina like I am right now. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the day of the week, but it was a weekday. Maybe it was Friday. Can't remember. And it's just like I didn't know what to think. Mm-hmm. You know, God had brought Todd Melby, who is our president, to us, and he was then and is now just clearly the perfect person for the
role. Totally.
So,
go Todd.
Yeah, so there is great satisfaction in that. And I think he was actually out of town or something, so we weren't really in communication my last day as president. You know, I think I thought, well, surely, you know, some of my friends or some of the people committed to Leadership Edge would call and just tell me I've done a good job or something like that. And, you know, because most of my close friends are men, none of that happened, which no surprise there. So basically, I'm just sitting in my office, you know, trying to think, is there any last thing I need to do as president, or is there just anything I need to do to get ready for, you know, the first day that Todd's with us? So really was glad when the day was over, and really was glad July 1st of last year when Todd took over as the president.
Yeah, totally. Huh, that's really interesting. I don't think I've ever asked you that specific question. Interesting. Well, so today, Dad, our topic is The Role is Not the Reward. And so this is based on a paper that you wrote last year around the time that you were stepping down as the president of Leadership Edge. So you already given us a little bit of context, like where you're at or what was, like how you're thinking about things. But would you share a little bit more about the topic and also give us a little more context?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as a man and as the founder of Leadership Edge, it's awfully easy, I learned, for your identity and in some ways your ego to get wrapped up in your position, mm-hmm. in your role. And that's true whether you're a business leader or a nonprofit business leader, if you're a church leader, if you're a leader in the community, if you're a leader in your family, you know, mm-hmm. as a parent, as a
totally.
Spouse. I think that it's so easy for our egos, for our identity to get wrapped up in it, and we think that everything is around that. And so if the organization's doing really, really well, then we feel pretty good. But honestly, we don't feel that good because we're aware it's not always going to be well. And so mm-hmm. then we're a little bit nervous about what's going to happen if it's not good. So we can't really rest in the good times. And then in the bad times, we're just in turmoil because we're just too wrapped up in it. And I think that founders can become very poisonous to an organization. You could look at them and just admire how committed and how sacrificially committed they are. But sometimes that can really have a dark side to where it can be poisonous. And you especially see that when it's time for the next leader to be chosen. to where either the founder just won't accept that, and so it's thwarted until basically the founder dies or is kicked out. Or, you know, the founder sabotages things along the way to where he kind of scares off good candidates for the position. Or, you know, the good candidates come in, and if the founder's still around, then he just kind of micromanages them, or I guess not manages them, but just is constantly looking over their shoulder, making comments, all that kind of things, to where, you know, generally the unspoken rule is, whenever it's time of transition from the founder, how do we graciously and quickly, and especially quickly, get rid of the founder? Because and I think that out of the grace of God, I can't remember ever once that I thought of Leadership Edge as my organization or as my baby. I think the Lord spared me of that, and I always just knew it was His, that He's the one that brought it to be, that that it even existed was of Him, and that I got to be the founder, I got to be the president for a while, I got to work here, but it wasn't my thing. And so I think that really set us up well in terms of the search process, in terms of the interview of Todd, in terms of Todd having a really smooth entry into Leadership Edge. I think that happened. One of the reasons was just because I was in a generally good place in terms of my identity, my ego, and the organization. And I'm very grateful to God, because I'm just like any other guy, and I could have gone down that path very, very easily. I know that the reason I didn't is because of the Lord.
Man, that's so good. Well, and like another phrase that I'm thinking of as you're talking is like just the idea of being open-handed, like understanding that it's not yours, it's God's. And I can totally vouch that this is true, that that's how you handled it. And you can really see the fruit of that, and both in that they didn't kick you out and ask you to leave, but also just in the relationship that you and Todd have, and how much fun you guys have having dinner together. And I mean, yeah, you just have such a like a relationship of mutual respect. And I can totally relate to the thing that you described of just, I don't know, just kind of feeling pressure when things are good and even more pressure when things aren't good, you know? So I think it's really a gift to have you share about this, because I mean, I know there have been times where I couldn't see how much I was wrapped up in the role till the role ended or wasn't going well. And so I'm sure there's a lot of other people like that too. And I think it's a gift to have this kind of push to the forefront so we can learn. So thanks for doing that. So in your paper, there's a quote that I wanted to talk about. It's John Bloom, and he says, "When the blessed Lord grants one a role to play, one must perform it faithfully but never grasp it. For the Lord also takes away. The role is not the reward. The Lord is the reward. We must remember that our role is not our reward. Jesus is our reward. Roles will begin and they will end. And the only way for us to end well is if in our heart Jesus has increased and we have decreased." So, I mean, that's just like the whole quote is gold. You pulled several key points out from this quote in your paper. Would you share those?
Yeah, as I read the quote from John Bloom, and we'll have in the show notes for this episode the name of the book that came from, if anyone wants to order it, and highly recommend any and everything that John Bloom writes.
But totally.
As I was listening to this quote and then kind of comparing it, fitting it in with Scripture, there were four things that came to my mind. The first one is that the roles we play are granted to us from God. That, you know, Psalm 75 says that God puts down one and He lifts up another. In 1 Corinthians 4, it says that any good thing that we have, we received from God. And so the first thing is just to remember, whatever role I have, whether it's one that I like so much I can hardly let go of, or if it's one that I like so little I would like to get rid of it any way I can.
Oh, yeah.
Just to remember, this came to me from the Lord. Hmm. This was a gift to me from the Lord. So that's the first point. The second one is, we must perform our roles faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for many of us, and maybe especially for a lot of men who are listening, we when we hear the phrase, we must perform our role faithfully, we interchange for faithfully stoically. And it's the idea of, you bet, I'm gonna go do this. I'm gonna do this. And it's like faithfully, but it's really in our own strength, by our own motivation, by our own. And I think we need to remember that any role that God gives me, if I'm going to conduct it faithfully, then what that means is with my trust and hope in Him, both at the beginning, during it, and at the end, to where, yeah, I need to perform the role, but for me to perform it faithfully, that word means with my trust in God, with my hope in God, with my confidence in God. So the role was a gift to me from God. I must perform it faithfully. The third thing is, but and this is back to John Bloom, but the role is not the reward. The Lord is the reward. And our challenge is that because of the twisted state and motivations of our heart, we too often deem Him as not that great of a reward, especially compared to the praise and regard of others. And so we are constantly checked by the question, what's the reward? Is it the status this position gives me? Is it the security, the fame, the money, the notoriety, the whatever? Or is the reward Jesus? And to be honest enough that if the answer is reward is Jesus, and if that doesn't mean very much to me, for me to realize that the problem isn't the role, the problem's me.
Man, that is good.
Completely skewed. And the way to deal with that is to run to God and tell Him. Just tell Him, you know, God, right now, when I compare being in relationship with You with having and wanting to have this position, the position outweighs You 100 times. And then just say, God, please forgive me. Please rectify my heart. Please show me my craziness in this. Please exalt Yourself to me, so that I see, as much as I may love this role, as much as I may cherish that I get to do this work, it is not even in comparison to the value and the kindness of knowing You.
Wow.
So well, the third one is,
can I pause you there really quick?
Because yeah, please.
This is kind of like pulled from kind of what you said with number two and kind of with number three. But like one thing that I'm thinking is like the only way to get to where you got, where, you know, however many years into Leadership Edge, you are able to step down and it not like, you know, be like an identity crisis, is that like day in and day out, you are keeping like short accounts with God and like dealing with this as it would creep in, and then just just like being honest with Him and asking Him to change your heart. Is that like what you're saying, is that the way that you got to the end and it wasn't a crisis was just that over and over you were getting back on track if you got off track? Or is that not what you're saying?
I think so, and I think you know, I believe it was A.W. Tozer, but maybe it was someone else originally who said, that which is heaviest must weigh heaviest. And I think that if Christ, if we say Christ is heaviest, Christ is most important, then He must have the weight of most important, meaning He must have the place, the significance of most important. And I think that because throughout the decades that I was leading Leadership Edge, God kept drawing me into fellowship with him. Mm-hmm. And I kept seeing what a mess I got into when I wasn't in fellowship with him.
Yeah.
I think that just gave me what I would call sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me to see Leadership Edge for what it was, you know, a great organization and one that God's been very kind to work through. But it cannot be my ultimate core. It just can't be. You know, and one of the ways I thought about it through the years, and I think this is theologically accurate to say, but it helped
me,
was, Jesus died on the cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't die on the cross for Leadership Edge.
Ooh, that's good.
And what I meant, what I understood that to mean is Jesus died on the cross for people who he wanted to bring into fellowship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses organizations. He raises up organizations and he puts down organizations. And organizations are very important to his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But the sacrifice of Christ is for his sheep that he came to save.
Mm-hmm.
And that just helped me to keep sanity around it. The most important thing was me and Jesus, not me and Leadership Edge.
Man, that is really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, for any of our theologians listening to this, if that's not good theology, please write in.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's really good. Going back to, I think we stopped after the third
one. Yeah, the role's not the reward. So then the last one is, as in all things, Christ is our example to follow in understanding our role.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, listeners know where I'm going to here. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
And these words here, though he was in the form of God, he did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped,
mm-hmm.
but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And this, you know, Laura, you mentioned earlier the whole idea of open-handedness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what Christ was. He was God. He is God.
Mm-hmm.
But he let go of all of the, you know, the comforts of being only, you know, with his Father, so that he could come into our world, that he could give himself up to play a role that was going to be a lot harder role,
mm-hmm.
than I guess he had ever played before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that our example here about the role is not really the reward comes from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in Hebrews 12:2, it gives us kind of the meaning of that, where it says that Christ, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he was willing to give up everything because of the joy that he knew he would have in doing the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's our perfect example of how we are called to let go of roles, let go of positions, let go of things,
mm-hmm.
so that Christ can be honored, so that his work can be honored, so that God the Father can be glorified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Well, and that, I mean, honestly, that seems to kind of back up the thing that you just said that I, like, am still thinking about with, like, Jesus, or, like, you know, God. I can't remember exactly how you said it, but the thing that God values isn't, yeah, Jesus didn't die for organizations, he died for people. And I mean, I think, yeah, this is like a perfect example of that. Like he wasn't as concerned about like the religion, you know, mm-hmm. as he was just about saving people. But this also kind of reminds me of the Humility podcast, mm-hmm. and just the idea that when we humble ourselves or when we are open-handed with our roles, like that is an opportunity to imitate Christ. And that's just really encouraging to me. So like every time that I recognize I'm holding on to a role, so like motherhood is a big one for me, you know, and release that, that's an opportunity to become more like Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Anything else you wanted to say about those key points, or did I cut you off, or were you finished?
No, with that? I think that's got them. Again, it's the roles we play are granted to us from God. We must perform them faithfully. The role's not the reward. The Lord is the reward. And then the last one is, as in all things, Christ is our example to follow in understanding our role.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Dad. Okay, well, so we've kind of already touched on this, but that specific line from the Bloom quote, the role is not the reward, the Lord is the reward. And I can totally relate to that horrible realization that he alludes to, where we find our identity in a role and then the project ends and we're like, who am I? You know, I've definitely been there. But that quote also made me think about times in his mercy, God has blessed me with a job or a husband and kids or a bigger home or a ministry position. And then that gift kind of becomes more central to my identity with God. And you've touched on this, but I wanted to kind of tie that idea to the end of his quote where he says, the only way to end well is if Jesus has increased and we have decreased. So how does all of that fit together?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the way that quote reads is, and the only way for us to end well is if in our heart Jesus has increased and we have decreased.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what John Bloom is saying is that that God's ongoing purpose is for Christ to increase in us and for us to decrease. And that fits with the verse in 1 Thessalonians that we've talked about before, about this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. And that God transforms us to be more like Christ. And so I think that the ending well, as I, you know, as a founder of an organization or as a parent before their kids leave the nest or, you know, wherever your role is, to be imagining, okay, how do I end well here? And maybe there's several descriptors of how one would end well their position and role. But I think what the scripture points us to, and John Bloom points out for us, is that ultimately it's in my service in this role, did Christ grow larger in me? Did he grow more treasured in me? And did I grow less? Meaning grow less in terms of it being all about me. And I think that's what he's getting at. The way that you end well in pretty much anything that you do is, has Christ grown larger? Has Christ grown to be more treasured? Has my absorption of the Father's love and commitment to me grown bigger? And therein have I grown less?
Man, that's so good. And like, I'm thinking that's such a process of freedom. Like, God wants that, I mean, mostly so that he would be glorified in our lives, you know, that we would see his glory more, but also just so that we can be free. Because the reality is, like, sometimes, you know, the business eventually fizzles, or our kids have challenges, or whatever the role is, you know. And so it's a process of freedom if we recognize, like, that God is in control and, like, he gets to choose, you know, like, trusting his sovereignty, that he's good and he's kind regardless of what exactly happens. And then we can kind of move forward free instead of that pressure we talked about earlier. Well, so I hear you saying that by God's grace, and I mean, I've seen this too, but the Leadership Edge transition was a really peaceful and joyful one for you. And again, we've talked about how awesome Todd is. I can totally see how, you know, that would help with making it a peaceful process. He's godly and gracious, and you guys have a great relationship with a lot of mutual respect. But what would you say to a person whose role at work is changing or even completely disappearing? And at this point, like, they can't see the blessing yet. It doesn't feel good. What would it look like for them to live out this truth?
Well, it could be a time for them of some prolonged introspection about what has this role meant to me? Do I see it as coming to me from the Lord? Was I faithful in executing my responsibilities? And again, faithful meaning trusting in God at the beginning, throughout, and at the end. Did I get tied up into this position being my identity or my ego being wrapped up in it? And, you know, did I end well in the sense of, did I end with, you know, just, am I ending well with just a commitment that, God, this job wasn't all I hoped. I am a little fried as to how things are coming to an end. But I know that I have you and that you're the treasure and that nothing can take that treasure away from me. So I think sometimes when jobs end poorly, it can be a sad time. It can be a time of real Christian lamenting in some ways. But it also can be a refining time and maybe a refocusing time to help me to see, you know, I have the treasure. And the treasure is Jesus Christ alone. And I can't lose that treasure, and there's no way that this job can end up to where the treasure's taken away from me. And it can be a time of refocus for us, I think.
Yeah, that's good. That reminds me of you've said this to me like a billion times, but just the idea of like looking to God, you know. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, well, so we've talked a little bit about how the concept relates to career, and so now I wanted to give a non-career scenario. So let's talk about caregivers, maybe someone who had a career and now stays home with an elderly parent or disabled child or, you know, kids, what some context where they have moved to being more at home. So you're an empty nester, and you've been through a season as a caregiver for a parent, our beloved Grandma Ann, who passed away in 2014. So having been through the full cycle with those caregiving roles, like, what have you learned? How do we anchor our identity in God instead of our service to those people or our relationship with them?
Well, I think to serve, whether it's your children or your aging parent, well, you have to find your identity, your strength in the Lord. Because if you don't, then you're going to manipulate your children. You're going to, you know, just have your family life in pins and needles of tension because of how you're too much identified with them. And in some ways, you're going to really frustrate their transition into adulthood. And then I think with caregiving for an aging parent, you need a lot of wisdom to know how to play that role well. You also need a lot of strength when it's very taxing to you, or when you, as you're seeing your parent go through demise and death, you're also just dealing with the sadness in your own heart. And I think that being a caretaker for a parent can be a setup for bitterness. It can be a setup for just endless sorrow and grieving. It can be a setup a lot of different ways when it could be an opportunity, like it was with my mother, to finally be needed and to be able to give back to her just a fraction of all that she had given me. You know, my mom was a very independent woman. She very much took care of herself until sort of the last few years of her life. And it was really neat for me in those last years to feel that she needs me and that I can play a role. But I really needed the grace of God. I needed Christ to give me the perspective and all that I needed to serve my mom well in that season. And one other part is usually as, you know, raising your kids or a caretaker for a parent, you're not, a lot of times, you know, and you know, with those of us who are parents, we're not doing that alone. We're doing that with our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good in raising children and in taking care of aging parents when you're able to have a spouse who also is looking to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I certainly had that and have that with Janet, mm-hmm. just in how we raised you guys together, but then also in the care and sacrifice for my mom.
Oh, she was amazing. Yeah.
She was just as committed to my mother as I was.
Totally.
And sometimes probably more so. So, mm-hmm. again, I just think in those situations, you will screw up the role if you're not looking to Jesus to give you what you need.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, and was there anything that, I mean, I know this has been a few years ago, but, like, are there any things that you specifically, like, learned or, like, grew in your relationship with God through, like, taking care of Grandma Ann? Like,
you know, I hadn't really thought of that. I think that one was just my gratefulness for her because, mm-hmm. you know, as I was able to do relatively small things for her, mm-hmm. I would just reflect on all that she did for me, mm-hmm. and all that she sacrificed for me, and at the time that I was growing up in our little town, there wasn't an orthodontist, and so when my parents agreed for me to have orthodontics in my early teen years, we would have to drive an hour each way to the orthodontist for me to go to those appointments. Mm. And I remember just the dozens of times that Mom, with no complaining, with no anything but just kindness, would get me in the car and drive me to Charlotte for the orthodontic appointment, usually take me out somewhere fun for a sandwich or something afterwards, and then drive us back and then have to re-enter her world and cook dinner or whatever she was doing. But just how gracious she was. So our little joke in her years was whenever she was thanking me towards the end of her life, I would say, Mom, if I did this 100 times every day, it would never pay you back for all those trips to the orthodontist. So that was kind of our little joke.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, and as you're saying that, I mean, I guess I'm thinking about, I don't know, it just made me think, none of us is going to do this perfectly. Like, that even, like, the orthodontist story is that such a high standard, and man, I fall so short of that so often in my own caregiving role. So just, like, even thinking through, like, all of us are going to fall short of this, and, like, just the, feeling really thankful for the mercy of God, I guess.
Yep.
I want to finish up by going back to the idea of us decreasing as Christ increases. And you've talked about that earlier, but how do we move in that direction, like seeking to decrease as Christ increases? What's our role in that, and what is God's role?
Well, we've talked before about that we can choose humble acts, but only God can make us humble.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the I must decrease part is just continuing to lean into the letting go, if it's a role, in terms of, you know, realizing that this role was from God, and that it's His to give me at the time He wanted me to have it, and His to take it away. So I think in terms of the decreasing, it's just continuing to choose the humble action by His grace. But I think the thing about He must increase, you know, that comes through prayer, but it also comes through focused time with Him. like focus time in the Word, focus mm-hmm. time reading through the whole Bible, mm-hmm. focus time just getting a larger and larger sense of who He is and all that He is, so that He does increase, He does become that which is heaviest. So I guess the I must decrease, it's choosing by His grace the humble actions. Yeah. He must increase is by me practicing those disciplines of grace, beginning with prayer, mm-hmm. to get a larger and larger sense of who He is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's really good, Dad. Well, I think that my two takeaways from this, one is what you just said of just seeking to prioritize, you know, God is the heaviest and growing in Him being the heaviest in my life. So that's really good. And then also just even, I think one thing that could help me keep perspective with my roles is remembering what you said about God or Christ came and died for people, not for organizations. And so, just keeping the people and service to people as a higher priority than, you know, the role. So both of those are really helpful. Thanks so much for sharing. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, just there will be show notes for today's session. They'll mm-hmm. They'll include the paper I wrote, The Role Is Not the Reward, and also we'll give reference to John Bloom's book that we took the quote from. And then just want to leave the listeners with a quote from Dwight Moody, which I think gives a good sum up of this topic we've been talking about. D.L. Moody said, "Use me then, my Savior, for whatever purpose and in whatever way you may require. Here is my poor heart, an empty vessel. Fill it with your grace." I think that gives us a picture of what it means to have an open hand, a loose hand around the role we play. Just want to remind you that with Leadership Edge, the vision that we have is that all of us, by God's grace, will step forward as God's man or woman in our spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And hope that this podcast has been used by God to help you to continue down that road.
Great. Thanks so much, Dad. And listeners, thanks for joining us today. And in 2 weeks, we'll have another episode up. It's called The Need for Influence and the Steps to Gaining It, a few simple thoughts on position, influence, and lifestyle leadership. So hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.